us over in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. As our custom is, we'll stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found in Acts, chapter number 9. This is the best thing I've had in my hands all day. I'm glad I've got a copy of the Word of God. Acts chapter number 9. There the Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and I like this Bible word, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He trembling and astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go in the city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered and said, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. There he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared in thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with disciples that were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? Came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength, confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the love of God today and the grace of God. I thank you for these people that have come today to enjoy the songs of Zion, to worship you in spirit and truth, and to hear the precious Word of God. We thank you for these that have given their life to Christ that will soon baptize. Lord, I pray now you'd make preaching be easy, just a few moments. We thank you for all these little ones in this church and the families that's so dedicated to bring them here. Help us now to stay truthful and faithful to your Word. And we'll be careful to honor you and give you the right of way today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Very familiar text. You'll notice within one of the key verses, it's found in verse number 17. The Bible said, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, put his hands on him, speaking of Saul or Paul, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to preach on this simple subject just a few minutes this morning, on simply religion or relationship. Religion or relationship. Paul was one of the most religious men in the Bible. Matter of fact, Jesus told one of the most religious men in the Bible one day. He came to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus. And boy, Jesus responded to him and said, you must be born again. You see, all the religion in America let you and I die and go to hell. Religion put Jesus on the cross. And here, as we know, the Apostle Paul as Saul before God saved him, he was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was one of the greatest Bible students that had ever walked the plains of this old earth. But religion was going to let him die and go to hell in his sins. America's got a lot of religion today. But there's one way to heaven. He is the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now notice religion or relationship. But you notice three important things about this, and I'll be done preaching. First of all, in order to have a relationship with Jesus, there must be a stopping. A stopping. Watch what happens in verse 1. Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest, the dignitaries of the day. That of the organized religion. We've got a lot of organized religion in America. Let me tell you, that's why young people don't want to go to churches, because there's a dead and dried up and phony in religion. But ain't you glad you can go to church in this day and this hour and uplift the King of Glory and be who we are by the grace of God and enjoy the goodness of salvation. And here, Paul, he was caught up in the great organization of religion. The Bible said that he would get letters to go to Damascus and synagogues. Look what the Bible says. If he found any of this way. Brother Randy, I've seen what one of the writers said about this way. First time it's mentioned in the Bible. Why would he say they would come and destroy a meeting that was doing it this way? My goodness, in those days, if Paul lived, he'd come in the doors of Liberty Baptist Church. He'd bring the leaders out, take them back to Jerusalem. They'd be beaten and stoned and many killed. And Paul was on a mission. But he said he'd come to find those in the way. Can I remind you, Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. Let me tell you, the devil's not looking for religion today. He's got all them religious folks. He's looking for those that are in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Uplifting the bloodstained banner that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Oh my, there must be a stopping. Now notice in verse number 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Now preacher, what about this stopping? What about this religion or relationship? I'm going to say first of all, you see, relationship makes you love. It don't make you hate. You know, Muslims are a very big religion in this nation. They're getting larger and larger. But isn't it amazing that that religion makes them hate? Let me tell you, we that are blood-bought, born again by the good grace of God, we don't hate people. We love people. And religion will make you hate. It's made this world hate a long time. Oh, all those great religious organizations, they have hate embedded inside of them. But oh, not those that are washed in the blood. We are to love, not to hate. So relationship makes you love, not hate. There must be a stopping. In verse 1, you'll notice Paul had a great breathing out. He was dedicated in what he believed. I've been asked this question before. Well, preacher, religious people, they believe in what they're doing. It don't matter what we're doing, it better line up with this Bible. He believed in what he was doing, but he was doing it all wrong. He believed still in the sacrifices of the Jews. He did not believe that Christ had been sent to be the great Messiah. And here he would walk into services that the disciples were having. No, he was a great threat to the community. There was a breathing out. Verse number 2, look, there's a bringing out. He would bring men and women and bind them to Jerusalem. Take them back to hold them on trial. He would accuse them. There they were stoned and whipped. And many gave their life for the cause of Christ. We live in a very sensitive culture today. People's feelings get hurt so easy. You know, we ought to realize what our forefathers, if they blazed a trail through this nation, that we may sit in a place like this today and worship our great Savior. There's been a lot of bloodshed, a lot of lives given, that we may be here this morning and preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I tell you the greatest death that's ever been told, where God sent His Son, hung on an old rugged cross, shed His blood for the redemption of all mankind, and now we can be saved by the good grace of God this morning. Oh my goodness. Do you have religion or relationship? There was a stopping. There was a breathing out. There was a bringing out. But Brother Jamie, look in verse 3. There the Bible teaches us there was a beaming out. What happened? The sun come out. The sun got to shining. The Bible said in verse 3, and as he came near Damascus, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. It was sudden. It was shining. And it was so shocking. Brother Elder, when I got saved, I wasn't looking for God, but I sure am glad He come looking for me. Brother Mark, when I went to church down at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, I wasn't down there looking for God, but God come a-looking for me. Met my wife on vacation. I wasn't, but I don't think 16 or 17. Time flies when you're having fun. Somebody say amen. Boy, I seen that red-headed woman by the poolside. My pickup line is, what time is it? Well, it worked for me. Somebody say amen. Boy, her mom and daddy, she said, I'm going to marry that boy there. Her mom and her daddy said, he's an old strong brick mason. Believe what he believed. Strong man, had a hand shaped like a bear. Somebody say amen. He said, you'll never hear from that boy again. He's sticking his key in the door in Bowden, Georgia. I was calling from Tennessee. He picked up the phone. And I said, can I speak to Renee? He said, here, it's this boy from Tennessee. What are you saying? God run His hand in my life. I wasn't looking for God. But God allowed me to meet a little girl from Bowden, Georgia, to sit under the gospel and hear the good news of the Lord Jesus. And suddenly there shined round about me a light from heaven. Yeah, I say, well, preacher, you ought to settle down. We got visitors. Lord Jesus, I ought to lap the building. I ain't got to die and go to hell in my sins. I'm glad Jesus come by one day and shined a light about my dark heart. I'm ever indebted to His goodness and to His grace. And I'm not going to let religious people shut me up and shut me out. I'm telling you, Jesus saves, and it's wonderful to be saved this morning. Oh, there must be a stopping. You'll notice, Brother Jamie, he is headed to Damascus. Brother Mike, the Lord stopped him. I wonder what the Lord has stopped a lot of us from. Oh, we is headed to some bad places, but the Lord stopped us. I was going to do some bad things, but the Lord stopped me. I want to ask you, has there ever been a time in your life when you've had a stopping place? When you come to the end of yourself and realize you're headed on a bad road? The Lord shined that glorious light of the gospel about your soul. Number 2, not only was there a stopping, then secondly, there must be a starting. A starting. Verse number 4. Bible said he heard a voice. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul. Look what the Bible says. Why persecutest thou me? You that are working on a job, you letting your light shine for Jesus and people don't like you. It's not you that they don't like. It's the God that lives in you. And you always remember this. When people are bringing you hard times, you're facing great opposition. They're doing it to the Lord. They're not doing it to us. And honey, listen, if God be for you, who can be against you? Somebody put their mouth on you, they talking about the Lord. And the last time I read my Bible, He's never lost a battle. I'm glad, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm on the winning side this morning. And so, He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He heard a voice. Look what He does in verse 5, hurriedly about done. He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, Rise and go into the city, and shall be told you what thou must do. And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Could you imagine Brother Mark being with that group of men that day with Saul headed down to the Damascus Road? All of a sudden, a great light turned on, and they all seen the light because the Bible said they all fell to the ground, but only one of them heard the voice, and it was Paul. And I want to ask you something this morning. Have you ever heard the voice of God that stopped you in your tracks, but yet it gave you a new beginning? I sure am glad He knows us by name. He didn't cry, y'all, y'all, but He cried, Saul, Saul. Oh, I'm glad God knows us by name this morning. And you know something? I try my best to remember everybody's name that have come in this door. The older I get, Brother David, the more complicated that becomes. It does not matter if I know you by name. All that matters is Jesus know you by name. And oh, I sure am glad He knows my name this morning. What a wonderful friend and a guide that He's been to me all my life. So, talking on relationship or religion, do you have religion or do you have relationship? There must be a stopping. Then there must be a starting. He heard a voice and he said, Who art thou? Not only in verse number 4 do we see voice, but verse number 8 we see a vision. Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. What's that mean, preacher? Well, see, when God stopped him and started him, he seen this world darker than he had ever seen it. And can I tell you today, the more I am saved by the grace of God, I am eternally saved, but I'm being saved every day. I'm being conformed to the image of His Son every day of my life. And boy, every day I walk with Jesus, the darker this old world becomes. Isn't it such a shame, people, all the hope they got is in this old world. But what you going to do when it all burns up? What you going to do when you lose all your money and all your land and assets and toys and gifts? What you going to do then? I like what they say, bad boy, what you going to do then? So this morning, there was a starting. He heard a voice. He had a vision. He lost, watch this. I love what the old writer said. Listen to this. It's so impactful. I'm about done preaching. He lost his eyesight to gain insight. He lost his eyesight to gain insight. I sure am glad, Brother Mike, that God darkened my eyes to this old sin-cursed world. Gave me an insight that's spiritual now. When I see you leave, you know what I think and wonder? Are they ready to meet God? Everybody I have to stand over and do a funeral, I wonder, where are they in eternity this morning? I used to never look at things that way. But I sure am glad one day that the light shined on me and He called my name and He turned this old world black. But now, I've got great insight of what really matters. You know something? Wouldn't that have been a blessing? I was talking about Miss Allison, Miss Pam as her new grandbaby, and Brother Jake, Miss Phyllis as their great-grandchild. You know something? Wouldn't that have been a blessing if we could have had them grandbabies first? I mean, listen, I didn't have to whoop Megan much, but I tore Macy up every day of her life. I mean, I tore her up all the time. You know, now these little old grandbabies, they come around, Brother David, I'd get the fly flap every now and then, pop them. You thought I was beating them with a chop axe. Somebody say amen. Boy, I tell you, I see things different now. God darkened this old world for me.
And it was a long time I run a career to the top of the ladder, as far as I could go. And when I got up there, you know what was there? Darkness. It was empty. But the greatest friend I've ever known is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bless Him this morning. So there must be a stopping. You may be surprised where He stops you from going by the grace of God. There must be a starting. You'll notice this. Oh, Ananias, I love him. Could you imagine God, you being Ananias and God asking you to do something? Go get Saul by the hand. Are you kidding me? This guy is a bad, bad boy. How am I going to deal with this guy? I mean, he's killing Christians and I'm a Christian. God said, go lead him by the hand. Hey, Baptist folks, remember about kindness. God may ask you to reach out to somebody that nobody else wants to reach to. I sure am glad, Brother Jerry, there's some folks grabbed me by the hand, led me toward the promised land. You see, this morning, having relationship or religion, there must be a stopping. Has there ever been a time when God has stopped you on the road you just headed down? Number two, has it ever been a starting? In your own way, how did you put your faith in Christ? Paul cried and said, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? You remember the woman with the issue of blood? Remember this, Brother Randall? She had an issue of blood. For many years, no doctors could heal her. She didn't have enough money to buy her way out. But Jesus come in the service and she just reached out, touched the hem of His garment. Well, preacher, what was going on? She moved by faith. Has there ever been a time in your own way that you moved by faith and received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? You see a big difference in religion and relationship. There must be a stopping. There must be a starting. But lastly, there must be a finishing. Paul finished the race well. Now, if there's anything that's in my heart that wants to do right this morning, is to finish well. I'd hate to know that I've labored in a church 30 years like this at Liberty Baptist Church and in the last quarter of life give it all away. I want to finish right. And see, in this text, Paul never forgot. You know something? I'm going to say, young people, something. I'm about done preaching. I promise I am. But just so good, I can't quit right now. But listen, Paul never got over the crowd he was running with. Paul never got over the things he was doing and the things he seen and the things that he heard. Young people, watch and don't let your mind go to places on that iPhone that your mind will never erase. Don't you get around the wrong crowd. Mom and daddies, know where your kids are. Know what they're doing. You send them off to spend a night with somebody, you better know something about that family. Amen. Paul never got over it. You say, why'd you say that last place ago? Look, Acts 26:9 must finish well. Acts 26:9. Won't you look what he said? And he said this through his dying days. You say, well, preacher, all I've done is God saved me for. Will He forgive me? He sure will. But it doesn't mean that we will forget it all ourselves. I remember some bad places I've been and I'm very ashamed of. I wish my mind couldn't even take me to them places. Paul never got over it either. I'm talking about finishing. Look, if you would, Acts 26, verse number 9. There the Bible says, I verily thought within myself, this is Paul speaking, that I ought to do many things concerning the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Many saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I punished them oft in every synagogue, and I compelled them to blaspheme. Been exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, but at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, by the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them that journeyed with me. When we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." But he said this, "Rise and stand up on your feet, for I've appeared unto you for a purpose." What do you say it about finishing well? Paul never forgot what he used to do, but he never forgot who saved him. And I'm thankful of that this morning. And one of the greatest texts, Brother Jamie, we've got in our Bible, Brother Philip, one of the greatest that's there, 2 Timothy 4, verse number 3, Paul said something about finishing right. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 3, said, "For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, as for we are today. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Miss Sherry, would you come? "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing." You know, I like what one of those writers said about this text. You know, when God blinded him, Ananias come by, Brother Adam, Brother Shane got him by the hand and led him. And his eyes was open, and he opened his eyes up into a world he had never experienced. And in his blindness, he stumbled into some things. And let me ask you something. When somebody comes up to you and they're real jealous about what you got, what you're driving, what you're living in, what you're wearing, and they throw them jealous remarks to you, just do like Paul would say, "Oh, I just stumbled into it. I just stumbled into it. Boy, God turned the lights off in this world, and He let me stumble into some things. I'm glad He let me stumble in the church. Glad He let me stumble and grab a hold of a Bible and a family and a God that loves me." And I say, "Hallelujah. I'm glad He allowed me to stumble in some things in the last days of my life." So when they throwing them hatred remarks to you, just come back and say, "Well, I stumbled into it. Boy, I'm glad the Lord loves us." This morning you may be here.